In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. What unfolds before us, dear faithful, in today's gospel is an all too common sight. Our Lord Jesus Christ is being tempted by the Pharisees, who ask him to name the great commandment of the law, the commandment of commandments, the most important precept of their religion. They do not ask, of course, out of a desire to learn from our Lord, but out of a desire to see him proven a false prophet. They want him to give an answer that they're going to be able to pick apart, to criticize, and leave him speechless. Then, they were surely thinking to themselves, then he would lose their patience with him. Then he would lose his patience with them. He might become flustered and angry, perhaps sputter about helplessly for an answer. And his disciples would finally realize that he was a fraud and a charlatan. So they thought the encounter would go. And as he so often does, our Lord responds by turning the tables on them with a question of his own. Whom do you say is the Christ? That is, the Messiah. Whose son is he? When the Pharisees respond by saying that the Christ is the son of David, our Lord uses the simplest argument of logic, a syllogism, to point out their error. For it is admitted by both Christ and the Pharisees that the son of a father is less than his father. In a certain sense, in this sense that he depends on his Father for his existence. With that established, our Lord points out to the Pharisees that in Psalm 109, composed by King David himself, the Messiah is referred to as David's Lord. In these words, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." It's important to note here, the Pharisees do not challenge our Lord's interpretation of the psalm. No, by their silence, they tacitly admit that the Lord mentioned here is indeed the Christ, the Messiah of Israel. Now, to refer to any individual as one's Lord means that that individual must be the greater of the two. And the result of this reasoning is that the Messiah cannot be David's son, at least not in the sense in which these Pharisees and most of the Jews had understood the term son in relation to the Messiah up till this point. For if he were, this would be self-contradictory. It would be the simultaneous affirmation of the Messiah as being both greater and lesser than David. Wouldn't make any sense. It is true that one of the titles of Christ is the Son of David, but this is in recognition of his human descent, his descent in his human nature from the royal line of David. Jesus Christ, however, in his one person, is God. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And in his one person, he does not depend for his existence on any single human being, not King David, not anyone. In today's gospel, we see God himself consenting to take on one of the bitterest trials of our existence here below, that of temptation. In this case, a trial of patience. In the case of our Lord, in this trial of patience, we have a model. We who are constantly beset with so many different temptations, oftentimes against the virtue of purity, or against the virtue of patience, or against our humility, sometimes we find ourselves complaining that we don't have the strength to bear them. But let us not believe it. Let us rather see the temptations for what they are. Painful, yes, Tiresome, no doubt, but nevertheless, trials given to us by our Lord, for which he does indeed give us the strength to vanquish. God could have simply erased the guilt of original sin and bestowed his redemption in his salvation on us, on the human race. But he willed to grant us our salvation as a reward. A reward for having fought courageously in this life with his grace and thus seized victory. When we withstand the attacks of the evil spirits, of our own flesh and of this world, we can truly say with St. Paul that we have fought the good fight, and that all that remains for us is to receive the crown of glory which God has prepared for his elect. And though temptation can be horrible to undergo, it has a providential purpose in our lives, that of purifying our souls and teaching us to put all our trust in God alone. For it is God's friends whom he allows to be tempted. If you have no temptations, beware. That may be the sign that not all is right in your spiritual life. That is why the words of the Archangel Gabriel, the Archangel Raphael, to Tobias could be repeated to each one of us. And we should take them to heart. And because thou wast acceptable to God, it was necessary that temptation should prove thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.